Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings.
Welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News with the Watchman Dana Smith and me. I'm Tower, your co-host. We have a great lineup for you today, so I'm glad you joined us. Today is Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. And here are some important announcements and updates from the WIBR Warn Radio. The Watchman made a video on the Wolf Blood Moon 2019. And the Wolf Blood Moon is history now. But he took a short video of the Blood Moon that was on January 20th, 2019. It's a shot from Casper, Wyoming, and it has some scripture scrolling with more info on our media. And the moon was gorgeous. It had a cold wind blowing in a cold front of snow. So check out that video by the Watchman. And also check out his latest articles, Choosing Life and Blessing Instead of Judgment. As Christians, we are not to love the world, nor are we to gratify the lust of the flesh, indulge our eyes in lustful ways, or allowing ourselves to be puffed up by the pride of this life. Moreover, in the hearts of people proceed evil things that defile a person, that can bring upon him judgment and a curse. There is an example of this judgment of the Lord upon the people of Jerusalem. This included a warning to the young women who in their pride brought upon themselves condemnation. This led to misery, mourning, and lamenting what happened. Also, deceitful, discernment, and decision. Society today is deceitful, and there is a danger. True discernment is far away from most Christians. The strong meat of the gospel belongs to them at a full age. By this can they discern good and evil. We are partakers of Christ only if we hold the beginning of our confidence unto the end. So you can read both those articles on warn-usa.com or danaclinsmith.com. Listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page of warn-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to all the places to listen from, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can listen to all the shows on the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can listen from the warn-usa.com blog and watch the videos. Also from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can follow Warn Radio on Instagram and Facebook, also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. The scripture reading for this week is found in Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through chapter 20, verse 26, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and chapter 9, verses 5 through 6. The New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. Also Matthew 27, verses 1 through chapter 28, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. And here's a list of some programs some news articles we have. We'll be doing gospel news announcement briefs, Ebola treatment center now open in the Congo, residents rally to demand church closure in Indonesia, good news home renovation reveals cash, couple making news. Silence over Leah Sherabu's kidnap. And so stay tuned for those and others as we have time. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight? I welcome you in.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, up front, we're going to be over in Daneland, where the Danish evangelist Torben Sondergaard, who is facing what they call persecution. He has quite an online presence as well as in person throughout the throughout the nation. He had been on a lot of news networks, and matter of fact, a majority of the people in the country saw him. The government saw him. They didn't like what they said, so he faces fines. He faces imprisonment. And they have problems with him praying for the sick. They have problems with his the gospel that he preaches. They have pretty much have problems with everything. Now, there is some controversy surrounding Sondergaard, but I'm not going to get into that. But I did read up on some of the stuff that they were accusing him of. There's people, other Christians, that have all kinds of questions. And you know, they were going to others in particular. I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, all this goes back to a number of revivals that came out of the Toronto thing and then came down into America. And there's a lot of filthiness involved in some of this. False, you know, familiar spirits and a lot of others. And, you know, I just don't go there. It's just not my emphasis. Torben, you know, I watched his video and everything he said. There's nothing that I found that was untoward and out of the gospel. You know, the bottom line of it is that when you're on fire in a country like Holland and the rest of the church is nominal and not on fire, they're going to get burned and they're going to worry and wonder and not like, you know, those who are on fire. That's the way it works. It works like that around the world. If you are on fire for God and you come next to people that are not on fire, somebody's going to get burnt and ain't going to be the one on fire. So this is the problem in Holland. Holland goes way back. We've known of a lot of stuff over the years coming out of Holland, and nominal Christianity at best. At worst, it's completely backslidden, and the political atmosphere is backslidden from what they originally wanted. They've tried to throw in some of the most outspoken voices who were warning them of the Islamic invasion into Holland and throwing them, sentence them to prison. It was also in Holland where radical Islamists had killed some of them that had, come out and did articles and stories about Islam and Allah and, the rest. So Holland has been in the midst of this, and this is just another line of it. And, of course, this kid is he's right in the top of it. Everybody is talking about him, and he feels the pressure. So, it's just we've been warning about persecution worldwide for some time. I've been on record as warning you about intense persecution come to America and Europe, the UK, and many westernized churches. I warned about that. It's coming. It will get in there. The bottom line of it is that the Western nations are heading right in to one of the most virulent times of any prophetic period. And I don't spend my time arguing with other people over doctrines. I could care less. you either listen to the truth or you don't listen to the truth. And I preach the truth. And I also warn you about prophecy. I warn you about a lot of things in regard to how to interpret it and things like this. And if you want to go somewhere else, you know, I mean, you know, there's going to be people that disagree with people within the church. That's the way it is. I can tell you that. I've been around this thing for a long time, and so has Tower. And we can tell you, even within denominations, these people act like a bunch of stinking, you know, uncircumcised Gentiles. They will fight with one another. They'll scream and holler at one another. And I've stood in the hallway watching them do it. You know, I make no qualms about it. There's a lot of politics within the church. There's a lot of false teachings in the church. And I've talked a little bit about it, but I don't spend my time. I preach the gospel. I warn about the persecuted church. And, you know, all will grow together to harvest. I don't worry about the whore church. I don't worry about those who are unbelieving. I don't worry about Nancy Pelosi. I don't worry about America. I serve the Lord God, and come hell or high water, that's where I'm going to plant my flag and stick my feet, is on his path. And if you believe in that, then you listen to us. And if you don't, then you'll do what you're going to do. But the bottom line of it is that we get way too excited in this country over the stupidest, foolish things. And it's even worse over in Holland and some of these other countries. They should leave this Sondergaard alone. But they're not going to. And they're not going to because they're backslidden. They're heading into the New World Order. Matter of fact, Holland will be one of the first ones. You know, they're going to be taken over by Islam. Germany is going to be taken over by Islam. The UK eventually will be taken over by Islam unless they forcibly throw the Islamists in jail and get them out of there, or the Islamists change. So that's the way it is. And in America, we have some other things that are happening. Remember, this segment that we're doing now is news and announcements. These are short-term little announcements. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. Tower?
Yes.
You're New York.
Okay. Well, this came across the wire today. It's very disturbing. When I read the title, it literally made me sick to my stomach. It's a sad and evil day. New York legalizes abortion up to baby's birthday on anniversary of Roe versus Wade. What is so disturbing to me is these New York legislators cheered and applauded Tuesday night after the Senate, you know, removed these restrictions on late-term abortions, allowing unborn babies to be aborted on the day of birth. And it passed with a 38-28 vote and was signed into law by the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo. And this is what he had to say. Today we are taking a giant step forward in the hard-fought battle to ensure a woman's right to make her own decisions about her own personal health, including the ability to access an abortion. And so it's very disturbing, Watchmen, to see these kind of things going on, the murder of babies that don't even have a chance. They can't protect themselves. There's nothing they can do. It's just horrible.
And it goes up to 9 months. It goes up to the day that they abort it. And matter of fact, we've talked about the other fact that nurses have come out and said that if a baby is beginning to be born in the womb, what they have to do is put it back into the womb and kill it in the womb because it's not murder.
Oh, my goodness.
And she came out and said that it's legalized murder. But you can't bring it out and murder it. Well, now you can bring it out and murder it if they don't want the baby. Now, the bottom line of it is Jeremiah 32:35. There's a whole segment in here, a whole section that Jeremiah is warning Judah because they're making their sons and daughters go through the fire to Moloch. And, you know, abortion is the modern day
yes.
version of passing sons and daughters through the fire to
yes.
Moloch. And this is also blood guilt, and the blood guilt falls upon the nation, and the blood guilt causes a people to be carried away, causes judgment. And because this is coming out of New York, New York is sealed their doom. New York City is going to be history one day, and you can quote me on it. New York will be, right now, and I can tell you that the woman in Revelation 17, the whore, she is fully implemented in this country and many others. Now, that doesn't make America Mystery Babylon. What it makes is that everything in this is an abomination, and the cup of abominations that the woman drinks is thoroughly entrenched in America, and New York City is one of the head places of it. So I can tell you that beyond a shadow of a doubt, there will be judgment, and there will be mighty judgment, and it will come eventually.
You bet there will be.
And killing babies like that is about as disgusting as you can get. And this idiot governor, along with the idiot politicians, did not do their people any favor. And, of course, the people have no clue because most of them have cast out the word. You don't hear anything from the churches because they're backslidden. And it's just disgusting. Now, I haven't been over to the Times Square Church to see what they have to say, but I know the pastor over there, not personally, but I know of him, and I know how he was with David Wilkerson for many, many years. Plus, David Wilkerson's son, Gary, is involved in it, in the whole ministry there. So, I'm sure that they would not be happy with this. And, of course, one section in Jeremiah says, it never came into my mind that they would do this disgusting thing, causing Judah to be turned out of the way. Well, this governor and the legislature that passed the law caused all of New York City to be turned out of the way, and they will find their plight directly in the path of judgment, and there will be blood spilt, and there will be hell to pay.
Yes, there will.
And for all of you that don't think so, on Judgment Day, when y'all stand before the Lord God at the Great White Throne Judgment, the saints will be there to witness, and they will give witness, and their witness will be made known, and you will find the final judgment not to your liking. Unfortunately, you won't listen.
That's right.
And so New York, as far as I'm concerned, has become the chief harlot in America right now. Now, a lot of other nations, other states would love to do this. And it's, I wouldn't want to live in a state that did that.
Oh, me either.
Or a city.
I'd be ducking all the time, that's for sure.
And another thing I just want to do, because we need to move on. Pastor Wang Yi has been hitting the news of a number of them. Barnabas Aid recently, Barnabas Fund. Well, it's Barnabas Aid and Barnabas Fund. They're the same organization, just two different. And they're again bringing out Pastor Wang Yi. We discussed this in one of our shows. Mm-hmm. And it's not just him and the other Christians from that covenant church, but there's a lot of others. They've been recently doing this, and they've also been cracking down in homes, and we're going to talk about that later, but that continues to go. So if you're a comfortable Christian in America, you better take a look in the mirror really quick, because if God is allowing Pastor Wang Yi and the Christians in China and around the world to go through this kind of thing, what makes you think that you can sit on your fat butt or skinny butt and your hardened heart and say, so what? Well, I hope to God you didn't say that, and I hope you listen, because you need to be praying for these people, brethren in Christ, who are suffering. And in America, folks, it's coming. And in the westernized United States, I mean the world, it's coming. And in another quick one, this is on Asa Bibi. The Pakistani court ordered the government to compensate the victims of the protests against Asa Bibi. And the guy that instituted this, that started all the riots, was a radical Islamist who had a lot of followers. He's been since thrown in jail. He faces tremendous fines. He faces a lot of stuff that they're planning on doing. He's going to face considerable trouble for what he did. So the court, Pakistani court, said that the government has to take care of the victims on all this. And it wasn't Asa Bibi. It was the government. The government should have cracked down on this moron a long time ago.
That's right.
So, at any rate, we're going to get out of here. And, you know, I have a couple of things related to Torben, but we're not going to do it. I told you to pray for him. Tara now has an Ebola. She's going to be talking about the Ebola.
This is an update that we talked about last week from Samaritan's Purse. They have their 18-bed Ebola treatment center in Comanda now open. It's in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. They opened it up last Thursday, actually. And the medical teams are there with comfort and expert care for the patients to serve, you know, to serve them in the name of Jesus. And by coming to treat people with this difficult disease, we as Christians are showing God's love and concern for them. And the treatment center can be expanded to 54 beds if needed. And it was constructed and properly equipped for water and sanitation over this span. It took them about 2 weeks to get it set up. And patients are cared for in isolation units until the lab results come back to indicate whether they have the infection of Ebola or not. And it's the center is part of Samaritan's Purse Emergency Field Hospital and was flown to Africa in their DC-8 cargo plane. They have 40 medical and non-medical staff on the ground and more than 60 Congolese staff hired from the local community. And all the staff has received extensive training in infection and protection and control and donning their personal protective equipment. And this is what Sarah said. She is a Congolese and one of their local staff. She says, "When I see my fellow Congolese people suffering from Ebola, I am sad, but it challenges me to help them so that one day they will recover and be strong." That's good. And more than 300 people have died since the Ebola outbreak was declared August 1st. Making it the second deadliest surge of disease in recorded history. And they have supportive care and other interventions saving the lives, though the current fatality rate is still about 60%. So we need to pray for them.
Yeah, and you and I saw that one movie, Out of the Darkness, which you could probably still see somewhere.
And, I'm sure.
And that was really gut-wrenching movie about how this staff, they were the only ones on the ground.
Yes, Samaritan's Purse was the only one on the ground helping. They couldn't get any other countries involved or anything, not even the United States, which I find tragic.
So all along I've been saying that when you get in America, we may have a lot of problems, but when America falls, you're not going to have outreaches like Samaritan's Purse and so many others just like them. That, and I can tell you, there's a lot of churches that send money overseas as well.
So you're not going to have other countries coming to our aid.
I know
they won't.
No, nobody will come to America's aid, I can tell you that.
Yep.
Not very many of them, if
that's
any.
That's true.
But so that's why it's important. You know, we don't want America to face judgment now, but it very well could.
And Israel might come to our aid. They would be the only ones that I would see.
Yeah. So at any rate, that's the Ebola. And of course, the next one we're looking at, we're over in Indonesia, which has a history of persecution. There is There was a group of people in Indonesia that were protesting against a house that was converted into a place of worship for Bethel Indonesia Church. Local residents surrounded the pastor there. as Sunday service is about to commence. And of course, we see this a lot. And most of the time, it's over being able to open a church. Most of them have to have some kind of a law, something that, you know, they have to get an okay from the government. And, of course, there's a lot of problems with this because most of the time when they wait for okay, they never get it. We see this in India a lot. And a member of the church shared a video on Instagram and said, "We didn't do things that were prohibited. Where is justice in this country? Where is our religious tolerance? God is with us." And of course, where is it? Well, they're Christians. That's where it is. The countries, the nations of men are going to forsake the true and living God. Paul warns of this in 2 Thessalonians 2, a warning that generations will come one day that will reject the love of the truth, which is God so loved the world, the Son so loved the Father, and those in the world that he came and died on the cross. This has to do with our Father and our God and our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. They will reject the whole nine yards. We are seeing that right now again in China. We're seeing it around the world. So this is where we're at. Remember that there is war against the church. Always has been war since its birth. And of course, now according to the religion office there in Indonesia, they confirmed the incident and explained that the residents protested because the house did not have permission to operate as a place of worship. Now the problem you have is almost all the time they never get it. You know,
they can't get permission.
And so that is the problem. And the other problem you have is, as Christians, we're to obey God rather than man. I don't need a chit from the government to worship God.
That's right.
I don't have a chit. I don't need a chit or an okay from anybody to pray or seek him. And believe it or not, in Muslim nations today, Christians are forbidden to praise God, carry Bibles, pray, meet together. You know, they can't do nothing. Well, I got news for the Muslims and for the communists and for these people in America and around the world. We don't need their permission.
That's right.
And you don't like it, that's just too bad. And the bottom line of it is that the true believers in these end of days will face death. And they will willingly face death. Because the way you overcome in these end of days, now you pay attention to this, because this is one of the end time marching orders that I've been speaking about for years. It comes out of Revelation. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's meaning born again, born of the Spirit, receiving Christ. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. So they give their testimony, as the Lord said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father and his angels." And they love not their lives unto death. And the Lord said, "Anybody that loses their life for my sake or the gospel shall find it. He that saves his life shall lose it, and he that loses his sake shall find it." Now this is what we're talking about. And today, as a comfortable Christian, or even as a Christian that is remnant, you know, on fire for God, living in America, living in places that you're not being persecuted, this thing's going to be worldwide one day. So
that's right.
You better get your heart right and stay right. And folks, we don't need, they're okay for a church. And the bottom line of it is, we don't even need their church. We can worship anywhere. We can find a cave somewhere. We can go underground, just like the church did during the time of the Roman Empire. And later on, we've traced places where Christians fled to get away from persecution so they could worship and seek God. And that's the way it is. We serve God. We don't serve man. Now, as long as man isn't going to infringe on what we have to do with our God, we're going to be fine. But one day, they're going to. And I can tell you, in a nation, it only goes two ways. They'll either accept Christianity on a wholesale basis and it'll prosper, or they'll reject it. And they will put up with it for a time, but then they will start persecuting them, then they will put them in jail, and then they will start burning the churches and wholesale slaughter. That's the way it goes most of the time when we're looking at persecution over the years. And you can find almost all of this in Scripture. I mean, you can find it all. You really can, because, you know, that's the early church. That's what they did, they and the apostles. And so, well, at any rate, Tower, we're in this Good News home renovation.
I know, that's an amazing story.
Yeah, this was on Faith Wire, and this was in Minnesota. They were renovating a home, and they have a home renovation company, and they were working with this nonprofit that wanted them to renovate, okay? And when they were renovating it, they found around $30,000 lying under the home's rotting floorboards. And he said he was on Thursday's on the TV, local TV station, Andy Rasmussen, and said, when we pulled it out, you can see it was ripped open by mice or mold or wet. He took a peek in there, and you could see it was all green. We looked through, and it's 20s and 50s, and I'd say 30,000, maybe more. Now,
all greenbacks.
Yeah. And so he said, in their 13 years of running Accessible Homes, they do home improvement projects for people with disabilities. They'd never seen anything like this, and I can imagine that.
Oh, I know. That would be exciting to find that.
Now, of course, it could be said that, you know, the couple could easily have taken the money and kept it. Nobody had been the wiser. But they gave every last dollar to Bethsaida, the Christian nonprofit that owns the home they were renovating. And I'll bet that helped them.
Oh, yeah.
Bethsaida provides housing services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And that's a good ministry, folks.
Yes, it is.
And it speaks to the integrity of our guys and our company, Rasmussen says. Oh, that's good. This is a good feel-good story.
Yes, amen.
You know, and you can tell this is a Christian guy. This is someone that has some morals. So this is one of those stories you like to hear.
Yeah, he's not greedy. And Bethsaida said, we are so thankful that our contractor on this renovation project, Andy Rasmussen from Accessible Homes, found this money and brought it to our immediate attention. His honesty and integrity are to be commended. So that's good.
Well, it is. And, you know, in this world of bad news, there are good people.
Yes, it's wonderful to have good news.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that you're glad to hear. You're glad that not everybody is like what you see in the news or you see on any, you know, I mean, you turn around and it's Christian persecution or it's, something else, or you get this politics problems and it just conflict and
yeah,
hatred and just everything that just makes life miserable for a lot of people.
Right.
And so, you know, you have to really focus on the Lord, folks, all the time. And we wanted to give this to you.
And you know, one thing I wanted to point out that this article said, as Rasmussen showed, sometimes doing the right thing is a reward in itself, and that's true. And now countless individuals will benefit from this unexpected cash donation.
So, one of them good stories that I appreciate.
Yes, amen.
Now, a story that we did some time ago, when it happened initially, and we've covered her a couple of times. Tower's got another article about her and an update.
Yeah. Excuse me. Silence over Leah Sherabu. I'm not sure I'm saying her last name right. Cherubu's kidnap. She was one of the Nigerian girls kidnapped, and the only one, if I remember right, that wasn't released because she refused to renounce her faith in Christ.
And convert to Islam, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, a coalition of united political parties in Nigeria has once again expressed its concern over the silence of the Nigerian government over the captivity of Leah Cherubu by the Islamic Jihad terrorist group Boko Haram. And she's will be in 1 year in captivity in February. And it says, together with 110 other girls of the Government Girls Science and Technical School were abducted. Here it says 105 of the girls were released a month after their captivity, and in a negotiation which the government was said to have paid a ransom for the release of the schoolgirls, but Leah was held back by the jihadists because she would not renounce her faith and convert to Islam. And it seems like, they say it seems like they're treating her case as closed. And this is extremely unthinkable treachery against a citizen of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. That is true.
Well, you know, Nigeria has had a lot of problems, and recently Boko Haram and even the Fulani have made inroads against the Nigerian army. The Nigeria used to have more money because of the oil, and they really had a lot of problems. They've been unable to control the Islamists in their countries, and a lot of Christians have been dying in Nigeria. It's a dangerous place. So the people, the government now in Nigeria is Islamic. The one prior to that was Jonathan Goodluck Johnson, who was a Christian. But neither one of them could take care of it. Neither one of them could solve the problem, and they still haven't. Nigeria, bar none, you know, one time it was one of those nations in Africa that everybody thought would do all right. But because of a lot of problems that has happened, it's turned into one of those that are facing a real bad situation and they've been doing it for a long time. Nigeria is at the top of the list when it comes to Christians dying, persecution, and radical Islam.
Yeah,
Nigeria.
This Mark Adebayo, he's a deputy national spokesman for the coalition. He said that the Nigerian government knows something about the abduction and said it is likely Leah is being used as a political bait. The government may arrange for her freedom in a few days to the election to score a political point, but it doesn't matter. Just get her released and stop behaving like Leah Cherubu doesn't exist. And they've had... this year also, over 100 predominantly Christian schoolgirls kidnapped at the government secondary school in Chibok will be 5 years in captivity since their abduction, together with 176 other schoolgirls in April of 2014. I didn't realize it was that long ago. And about 104 regained their freedom through a government negotiation in which some Boko Haram terrorists and a large sum of money were given in exchange.
Well, this is why these groups continue to do it.
Exactly.
And of course, there's not enough people to protect these kids. And all they do is attack these girls' schools and things that, you know, nobody protects. Well, if I had a girl in that situation, or a son, they would not go to school. I would keep them hid.
Yeah.
Or I'd move out of the country.
You try and keep them hid anyway.
Yeah. So it's really a mess. And our hearts go out to all these kids that are in this terrible situation.
Oh, I know. It's horrible.
It is. And so when we tell you these, be sure you remember who to pray for. Now, of course, we are back in China. And, of course, we told you about the other persecution with Wang Yi. As a matter of fact, we've been covering this quite a bit for some time. Persecution.org is, which is known as International Christian Concern, is the one that keeps an eye on this. Now, of course, there's Bob Fu of China Aid, and there's a number of others. But, you know, if you're in China, and especially if you're aged, the government provides welfare benefits and social benefits for you to live. Food, clothing, shelter, you know, various things. According to a magazine called Bitter Winter, elderly Christians in the Henan province were approached by local officials who asked them to remove the religious items in their homes and hang up portraits of President Xi Jinping or Chairman Mao. And if they didn't do it, they wouldn't receive welfare benefits. Now, of course, this has to do with, you know, you either do what we tell you, or you're going to starve to death or freeze to death, whichever occurs first. Because the way this atheistic country looks at it, and this is, of course, you can take this to Wang Yi, who is the pastor of one of the largest churches in China, that has been shut down, and they've been making all of these former churches into game rooms and all kinds of stuff, been taking them over. The Chinese communists are really cracking down, and it goes clear back to the way it used to be a long time, especially under Mao. That's a time that nobody knew how well the church was doing, and now what we have here. And you can liken this to the mark of the beast when it hits worldwide. Basically, it'll come. If you don't have the mark, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. You're not going to be able to live. You won't have a home. You won't be able to buy clothes. You won't get food or nothing. And when you are living in a country like China, and it is communist, you know, the communists pretty much tell their people what they're going to do. If they want to build a dam and need help, they go round up entire populations in the town and drag them off and make them do manual labor. Now, Tower and I have talked about this, haven't we, about the Christmas lights and about a lot of the different things right. that goes on there. They have, you know, education camps that they put them in. And, of course, while they're in there, they end up doing free labor. And, of course,
they're re-education camps.
Yeah. And what they do in there is they force them to make things. And in many cases, these are things that they're making that the communists use to make money off of and to get rich, you know, healthy thing within China itself. Well, see, this is the kind of a country that Google is trying to get business with. This is the kind of country that Walmart, for years and years and years, has been buying huge cargo ships full of Chinese goods, but a lot of other American companies are. Even America to this day tries to seek a decent economic package with China. And China is persecuting Christians as never before. They're getting worse in it. Now, see, this is a problem we have. And that is that money is more important than Christians' lives in this mess.
Yeah, and last week we talked about they've been ordered to arrest so many Christians.
That's right.
The police have.
And so,
or they lose their job.
Yeah, and so now you can see China. And, you know, so when I go into a store, you know, unless I have to, unless there's some reason I need to have something, I look and try to find out if I can find something that's not Chinese made. And, of course, I do not like at all doing business with China or any other nation that persecutes Christians the way I see is going on. So it's something to remember.
And there's nothing you can, you know, you're not going to change China. You're not going to personally, but you can pray and you can donate funds to the ministries that are making all this known. Because, you know, for instance, the ACLJ, a legal thing, and Jay Sekulow, they spend a lot of time going around and, you know, doing things, you know, representing Christians legally in various countries to try to get them released. So be sure to remember that. And this was a weird story, too. This next one, this was in Turkey. Now, of course, Turkey is where a lot of people went when ISIS, 2014-2015, swept through Syria and Iraq. And a lot of them wound up in Turkey. And, of course, Turkey has recently been cracking down on Christians and Christianity. And so the leader of a native ministry in Turkey was shocked when a wealthy Muslim friend told him he was planning to buy a Syrian refugee girl as a slave. Now, this is common practice for Islam. And matter of fact, it was common practice for even Israel, the Jewish state. You can find laws to that effect in the Torah. Where they had laws concerning a Gentile slave. They weren't supposed to have slaves of other Jews, but they could have a slave of a Gentile. And so the leader's friend told him, in a few weeks I'm going to go down to the camps. I have a wealthy old friend who bought a young Syrian girl and made her his second wife. I was going to go pick one for myself. Now this is just borderline lust. And this is what a lot of these young kids are used for.
Very tragic.
And see, the problem you have is, and a lot of these are the Yazidi girls, that a lot of the Muslims consider them as absolute pagans. And then the next thing that they will do is they will oppress Christians the same way. And when ISIS went through there, you had Yazidis who faced a genocide, and their girls that survived was made into whores and harlots, and they sold them as slaves. And then, of course, there's Christians that the same thing happened to. Many of them were able to escape. And then, of course, you have Muslims who didn't agree with ISIS. Many times they were just flat out killed. And so if anybody made it up into Turkey, they, you know, still had to live because there's, you know, you know, there's no jobs, no nothing. So it was, we covered this during the time. It's not a very fun thing to go on. And most of the Syrian refugees, and we've been hearing this for quite a while, even though Syria is more under control and so is Iraq, many of them find it too dangerous to go back into Syria because Assad is still not fully in power, and there's so many, ISIS is still coming out of the woodwork, and there's people who are ISIS that, you know, what they were Sunnis, and when ISIS came through, they just simply became ISIS fighters. And then when ISIS was ran out, they took off the ISIS uniforms and became just regular Sunnis living in the land. But these are people that have definitely gotten away with something. And what the other thing you have is the mothers will sell their daughters. The fathers will offer a dowry. You know, I mean, I can't think of anything more horrible, Tower, than to sell your kid.
Oh, I know.
I just, that's a mindset I couldn't understand.
I can't either.
I'm
be in such a desperate situation that you would sell your child.
Yeah, that's, well, see, and that actually
to be
goes
abused.
That actually goes back in history, and there's a couple of reasons they do it, because if they sell their child to the right people, their children will live and have food and a place to live. Yes, they'll have to work, but they figure that that's a good choice for them. Otherwise, they're going to starve to death. So there are reasons, and it's just not a, you know, it's just gut-wrenching to read why these people would do this. I just, that's just not me. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine that tower.
Oh, I know.
So, at any rate, remember, and we tell you this because, there's a lot of problems in a lot of these things, a lot of problems. And like this one here, you know, ChristianAid.org, Barnabas Fund, or Barnabas Aid, International Christian Concern, or Persecution.com. There's many, many others that we know about, and they try to make the plights known. They take money, they have contacts on the ground, and they get the money directly to the people there. And now, see, we're an advocacy agency, but what we do is through our news shows, through our articles, our writings, websites, we make known what's going on, and we tell people where they can go, what they need to do, pray for them, and give money to the ministries on the ground. And so that's what we encourage people to do there. Now we do have another story here, and this is from Bibles for the Mideast. Are you ready for that one?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This is about an African church under threat from Islamic extremists. They need a lot of prayer. Pastor Mustafa of Bibles for Mideast oversees 37 underground Assembly of Loving God house churches all across Africa. The thousands of believers are all converts from Islam. They gather every Sunday for worship services. And of course, the new Christians face unending hardships, mainly due to persecution from the Muslim religious leaders and extremists. Yet, by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, their churches continue to grow. Thank God. That's amazing. Besides holding gospel and prayer meetings and organized fasts, the members engage in personal evangelism. They visit homes in their neighborhoods. They distribute Bibles and gospel tracts. And just last month, a new Assembly of the Loving God Church began in a Central African country under the ministry of the Bibles for the Mideast. And Pastor Aziz and his wife minister there. They started the church with 3 days prayer and fasting. They hold gospel meetings every evening with Pastor Mustafa preaching. And the people share their testimonies, and this including young Lydia. Lydia's remarkable story is a three-part story of dying and being resurrected after a forced, I don't know what FGM is.
Female genital mutilation.
Yeah. Urge call to prayer for young Christian victims of this female genital mutilation. And I guess there's a place you can go read that story.
Well, no, her story is right down below in the green.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot to this. It's not just her.
Okay. The Holy Spirit powerfully moved on the meetings, and nearly 200 people accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And the families of this province consider FGM of vital importance for the girl. And Lydia shared her own experience of this, I call it torture, which was forced on her by extremists. After slipping into a coma, doctors declared her dead. But God and the Lord Jesus Christ raised her from death and completely healed her. She said, Because of the Lord Jesus, I am now living, and I cannot be silent about him and his salvation. And her incredible testimony proved a challenge to many. Numerous parents decided they would no longer allow this FGM for their girls, and I'm glad to hear that. On hearing of the news and the goings-on, the imam of the local mosque and other leaders have made it into a huge controversy, threatening to kill Pastor Aziz and his family unless they leave the area. They are also visiting the homes of new believers and condemning Christianity with the teachings of Islam. And they wanted to forcibly perform the FGM for the girls of six families, but all boldly refused. They told him, we now believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He was crucified, died, and rose from the dead for our salvation. We believe he will come again in the clouds to take us to heaven, so we do not want to go back to your barbaric customs.
Well, you know, we see this around the world whenever Christianity begins to really move by the Spirit of God, and you know, a lot of this is supernatural. I mean, it's not just religion. It's not just someone opening a house and inviting people to church. The thing that motivates people in these things are supernatural events, the appearing of the Lord Jesus, miraculous healings like this one. This girl was raised from the dead. We see this time and time and time again. So while we go through this, we tell you about the persecution, understand that in the midst of the persecution, Christians, you know, the Christian testimony is going forth, and we're talking a multitude of people are coming to the Lord, and this is around the world. I don't know about America. Matter of fact, I think America, it's really ironic as we fall away from the Lord. You know, those in Muslim lands are coming to the Lord. You know, and so if you reject the truth in America, who has had the truth? The truth is bringing people to the truth in places that have rejected the truth formally. So you're seeing people healed and saved and delivered to the glory of our God and Father.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You cannot deny that. We've been talking about this for time and time again, and that's just the way it is. And today we're coming pretty much, to the end of the whole thing. But, it's just amazing. And, you know, the thing that I think bears repeating here is the thing that I have, I put down. It has been pointed out by native Christian leaders in persecuted nations that the Lord Jesus Christ is saving those opposed to Christianity. There's two kinds of news. One just illustrating death and destruction of Christians. The other also tells that God is saving those persecuting Christians and believers themselves. We have these two kinds of news. And according to a pastor that is with the Evangelical Church in Cairo, and he's speaking of what's happening there in Egypt, he says, but there is heavenly news. We know what is going on spiritually. We see things that not everybody is seeing. We see things that you were not hearing. We see the multitude coming to the knowledge of Christ from every background. So this brings joy to us.
Amen.
Now see, you know, so that's really the point here. And another thing I wanted to bring out tonight, David A.R. White is the creative perfect. PureFlix. He has been in the Christian media for a long time. We remember seeing him in his movies that he was in years and years and years and years ago. I mean, many years before any Christian movie was even made, he was making movies. This is what he said. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
Oh, amen. That's for sure.
And that is one of the best quotes that I have seen.
Yes.
You know, I love that quote. And, of course, I thank the Lord for this pastor over there in Cairo saying that. And so that's why we want you to know, you know, and we have been telling you about the miracles and the people coming to the Lord. But now we give you the direct, you know, quote from a native pastor overseas. And we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. Pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. We pray for you, and we love you, and we thank you for all you do for the King. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Thursday Battle Lines. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.